For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client,
Virginia's most accurate and dependable...
I'm meteorologist Charlie Sill from the
West. The opinions expressed during this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of News Talk 620 WWNR. WWNR Beckley.
Tonight, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. If you're working in West Virginia, they're working for you. Now, Bob Kincaid.
We have a guest. It's still the night. It's all right. It's all right.
Hey, good evening. Almost 7 minutes after 7 o'clock. The weekend is past. Monday is here. And this... Anyway, later that day, I was... All right. Pick me, Bob. How much more convincing would you take? 50 to 1. A dollar bet makes 50. 10 to get 500, 100 to get 1,000, 1,000 to get 50 grand, 5 large. Called my buddy. He's a banker. Hey, listen, I know it's late, but, you know, me, man, it's Bob. I need a quick 5K. Emergency. Told him about Pick Me Bob, that beautiful horse. Skipped on its way into the harbor with my name. Hardly to be into the gin, isn't it, Bob? He says. What do you mean, I say? This is a chance of a lifetime. That quarter mil will more than cover your interest, and there'll be money left over. Hey, listen, I'll take you to dinner, my treat. Listen, Bob, he says, we're buddies and all, but the board of directors of my bank would nail my skinny white butt to the wall if I did that. We don't loan money for guys to go out and gamble and hope they come up with enough money to pay us back. No, we don't. Dang it. Oh, there I was. Well, wouldn't you know, Pick Me Bob came in dead last. So far back, the winner's dust finished. Before he did. And, you know, the kind of nice thing about I wasn't five large in the hole. Now, guy calls you, says, hey, June 25th, loan me $5.5 billion? June 25th, $5.5. What do you need it for? I'm going to take it and I'm going to gamble it in the stock market. And if I'm lucky, I'll have enough money to pay off your $5.5 billion, and I'll make a little in the process, and we'll take care of some teachers and state police and judges' retirement plans with it. Yeah, don't worry. It's okay. I mean, we really know what we're doing. I mean, this isn't some long shot. This is a lead pipe cinch, man. We're going to make at least 7.5% in the market. Last 5 years, you haven't made 7.5%. Oh, that's ancient history. You got to be optimistic. Winners know that they're going to win. You can't be a winner with a pessimistic attitude. Don't be a moon calf. Don't be a jabber now. Understand? You get it? $5.5 billion on a bond. June 25th, you get to vote on. You get to say whether or not you will allow the state of West Virginia to bet your taxes for the next 30 years that they can make enough money in the bond market. Bob, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Any of you guys out there looking for the girl next door? Because I know where you can find her. Cupid.com. It's a place to meet women that live close by. Cupid.com isn't interested in compiling some big worldwide network. They're focused on putting you in touch with the cuties you pass on your way to work. People who share your same area code. Basic Cupid memberships are free with zero obligations. You can even reply to messages from gold members, a service you usually pay for on other sites. You can remain anonymous and still put Cupid's auto match to work, locating women with your favorite traits and qualities. Bigger online dating sites show you a universe of women, which is perfect if you're into long-distance relationships. But Cupid.com shrinks that world to women right in your backyard, because the girl next door never lives three states away. Find your true love at Cupid.com, either online or at one of our fun local events.
Cupid.com, advertising locally on great radio stations to bring people together for love.
Don't miss the 12th annual West Virginia Wireless United Way Charity Coffee Fan on Monday, June 20th at Black Knight Country Club. Entry fee $70 per person, includes card, green fees, beverages, and lunch. Full sponsorship $150. Beverages provided by Budweiser. Lunch provided by the Outback Steakhouse from 11:30 to 1. Tea times 8 a.m. or 1 p.m. Limited number of golfers allowed. Make your reservations early. Hit a hole in one for a chance to win a new car from hometown Subaru Kia. It's the 12th annual West Virginia Wireless United Way Charity Golf Event on Monday, June 20th at Black Knight Country Club.
Hi, this is Bruce Hornsby. I'm here to tell you that when it comes to housing discrimination, that's not the way it has to be. Some things can change and should, and you can help. Join the effort to end housing discrimination by becoming a member of the National Fair Housing Alliance today. Visit our website at www.nationalfairhousing.org. Fair housing is not an option, it's the law.
He's got a brain, and he's not afraid to use it. Liberally, of course. Here's Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. The phone number around hereabouts is if you're not local, if you're outside the dialing Bob at headonradio.com, you might want to case. A lot of this was in an article in the Sunday Gazette. Do please remember that this bond issue, just the commission's on it. This isn't investment. This isn't anything that's going to do us $55 million. $5 million. Bond lawyers and some bro criticizing this bond issue because I suppose I'm at odds with, because I have some concept of borrowing money. It'll hit hard times. I mean, at some point, just by virtue of the cyclical others. And when we do, we will pay that bond debt back if we have to cut out. Medicaid altogether. By God, we will do that because we have to service those bonds. And by service those bonds, I mean pay off the rich people who bought them in the first place. We'll point out that we had an 8-year ago government. And that went when we managed to balance the budget and wound up with a surplus for now. You tell me, what state services are you willing to give up? Tell me, who gets to deliver the baccalaureate at any given high school. Well, you know, we're going to put you in debt, kids. I know you're only 18 and you're just now getting out of high school and everything. And going to college and you're hoping to learn a little something. Maybe some of you'd like to. But, you know, while you're thinking about doing that, us, you're better. We're going to put you in hock for the next 30 years. Talk about something disgusting, something that makes me want to run a whore. Hock with, you know, lots of soap. May be in agreement with Don Blankenstein, that evil old monster. Open-minded enough, not against it. Him to say, as he did, that he doesn't think it's state government's business to be running around borrowing money and then trying to invest it well, sharply enough that they can make more money than they borrowed. Check kiting, wouldn't it? Putting the monkey on young, you know, the people. What about a 15-year-old? I think a 15-year-old should be eligible to vote in this election since it's his or her. Well, you know, if we don't get this bond issue out, well, you know, more and more of your tax dollars are just going to pension debts. Well, we knew that when this plan was passed, didn't we? Plan is in place, and we don't have to send our tax dollars out of state. Somebody who buys bonds for a hobby. A little bit unfair because we have already made and we've already they're going to be paid one way or the other for all of their that's all. So let's take our bottom of the hour break. The phone number 252-6200 outside Beckley 820-9967. This is Head On.
Head On. Good evening. This is Carl Mack, WWNR News. More than half the state under a severe thunderstorm watch until talk just about 30 minutes from now this evening. Service says the storms have the capability of producing wind and more hail, 2.5 inches in diameter, and also Ohio Valley earlier this afternoon. Watch covers 35 of the 55 counties, including the greater Beckley area, and again, the severe watch in effect until 8 o'clock this evening. Truckers and other commercial vehicle drivers, be prepared to stop at a minute past midnight tonight. All commercial vehicles passing through the two safety inspection. The PS-wide campaign. The agents, those who owe municipal service fees in the city of Huntington, may soon have their wages garnished. City Attorney Scott McClure has been working to collect past wages. He says, I don't know how cases of West Nile virus started. So the question is, could West Virginia be next? Hubert Zapia, a public health entomologist for the state, who knew a virus to predict what's going on. He's hoping for a mild season like last involving horses last year. Once again, severe thunderstorm watch until 8 o'clock this evening. Cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, and later tonight partly cloudy. Some fog may develop. Temperatures in the upper 50s, and then for Tuesday, partly sunny and mostly quiet tomorrow, and also very warm. Temperatures again in the upper 70s to near 80. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
Oh well, that political bubble that you keep him in has sprung a little leak at an evangelical Christian college, normally a safe haven for George. Carl Rove, the handler-in-chief, loyal supporters are allowed in. Those his elitist, autocratic, no. Calvin College seemed the perfect. This small, theologically conservative, soaring fans from Bush's base. Carl bumped Calvin's scheduled graduation, booked Bush in the slot. Imagine Carl be greeted by a full-page letter in the Grand Rapids Press. Students, faculty, and alumni protest your deeds, Mr. President, neglecting to model the rich, desecrating the environment, and misleading the country. Do not exemplify the faith we live by. It also must have sporting bumper stickers on their mortarboards. What Bush saw in Grand Rapids is a reality. Bushites. There is a deeply progressive separates itself from Bush. To call Sojourners, 800-714-7474.
Message from the American Library Association.
Hey, I'm Bernie Mac. The libraries need your help. Many are forced to cut back hours, reduce services, and even close their doors. So what can you do? I tell you what. Support your local library and help keep your library doors open. Contact your local library to find out how you can make a difference in your community. The future is at your library, so make sure your library has a future. Just a little something from the Mac.
Brought to you by the Campaign for America. More information, visit the American Library Association.
WNR Beckley.
A man who just loves conservatives. Baked, boiled, or fried. Here's Bob Kincaid.
By the way, I tend to think that, Bob, you don't show appropriate respect for the office of the president. Really, for the office. That Chippendale chair or Applewhite shield back, but it does turn out, not during the news cycle when the Johnny on the spot White House press corps Hood, not General John Bell Hood, he's been dead for a while, but Brigadier General Jay Hood, the commander of the detention center, the concentration camp at Guantanamo Bay, he issued his report, and in his written statement, he said that his investigation had in fact confirmed that, well, a guard peed on the Quran. Yeah, I know. And that prison guards caused an unspecified number of Qurans to get wet. And in essence confirmed everything that was in the Newsweek story once the media had gone off to cocktail hours or to smoke something or pick up a hooker or whatever the mainstream media does. But he did go on to say in absolutely post-classic modern age weasel speak that his investigation, quote, revealed a consistent documented policy of respectful handling of the Quran dating back almost 2.5 years. So God only knows what happened 3 years ago that they were doing to the Quran. Almost 2.5 years ago which is shorthand for 2 years ago. Ever since 2 years ago, they've been, except for the peeing on it part, they've been treating the Quran with real respect. 3 years ago, we don't know. Not so sure. 3 years ago, for all we know, the Brigadier General was lighting Cuban cigars with pages out of the Quran. But he wasn't settle down, wingnuts. Settle down. It's okay. He wasn't doing it with pages from the Bible. And so, as it turns out, 540 detainees at the Guantanamo Bay concentration camp. Some of them have been there for more than 3 years, you know. You know, back before 2.5 years ago, when we started treating the Quran with respect. All true. Liberal media. Yeah. Everybody was getting a little... Oh, and by the way, 30 members of the Army National Guard, Army... But remember, Saddam was a bad man. And he gassed his own people. Go to the phones. 252-6200 is the number. Outside Beckley, it's 800-620-99. Hey, Jim, happy Monday to you.
Hey, good evening.
How are you?
Well, I'll tell you, I stayed inside except for pruning some bonsais.
Oh, what kind of bonsai do you have?
Juniper.
Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're fun to work with.
Mm-hmm, they are. I want to ask you some questions about this referendum on this debt issue.
Okay, I'll answer them if I can.
Well, in the first place, now, it's my understanding this money is supposed to go to pay the retirement pensions of teachers, policemen, and one other class of state civil servants, which
judges.
Is...
Judges. Judges.
Sorry?
Judges.
Judges, okay. All right. Now, what happened to the original money that was used or was supposed to be used to pay these pensions?
I don't know. I don't know that it was ever adequately funded. It was a promise made that was hope.
It unfunded liability or an unfinanced requirement.
Right.
Military term is unfinanced requirement.
Now what?
Or a UFR.
Right. Well, what has happened?
A UFR then.
What happened in the 90s?
Did they do with these people's money that they contributed to this fund?
Well, this was no. This is not these people's money. This is the state, it's my understanding, Jim, this is the state contribution, the state's portion of the contribution.
Yeah, but what happened to the employee's portion?
I would suppose that it is still there.
So
you'd like to hope that.
Well, the chances of it being there, unless it's fenced, are next to none. Probably it isn't there. Let's just say that it was used for other things.
But the theory is that the state's portion... contributions.
That constitutes the UFR.
Yeah.
The UFR, unfinanced requirement.
Right.
Okay.
And these
people will have a pension, right?
But bear in mind, there was a plan put forward and, passed and signed off on, had some holy water shaken on it, whatever, that makes allowances for tax revenues to go to fund the state's contribution on a yearly basis, I guess over the next 30 years.
That's your pay-as-you-go plan.
Yeah, and it does at some point, and I don't know exactly which year, Jim, at some point it rises to somewhere around $700 million.
Okay, it's in a balloon payment?
Yeah, you could say that. It's like an ARM or something along those lines. ARM, adjustable rate mortgage, that kind of
thing. Well, I'm trying to put it in simple language here. We're talking about an expanded payment.
Yes.
That is beyond what the normal payment is.
Right.
Well... We'll call that a balloon payment then.
Fine then.
All right. Then how is this bond issue, how will that impact on state taxes? I mean, they're going to have to increase state taxes to provide not only for the pensions of the people who are retiring, but, you've got ongoing responsibilities.
If you take these people at their word,
yeah,
they say that state taxes will not increase and that, in fact, we'll do better because in the long run, when that $700 million payment time comes along, that we'll actually be paying less if we do the bonds.
If they float the bonds.
If they float the bonds. And if. I mean, there's a bunch of ifs here, Jim.
Well, I mean, nothing is certain.
No, because part of this whole gig is that we're going to take that money from the sale of the bonds and go play the market with it.
Well, now, the part that other than the profit of the market, aren't the bonds insured?
Yes. Well, if they choose to. It's their choice.
I mean, they would have to do that.
No,
that would not be optional. They would have to do that.
No,
by law.
No, they do not.
Yes, they do.
No, they do not.
Yes, they do.
Jim, the article in Sunday's Gazette was pretty clear.
You can't do that without, you cannot do that without adequate insurance, Bob.
Well, that's not what they're saying.
Well, they're full of shit.
Jim!
You can't do that.
Sorry about that. As it turns out, I hope that one didn't sneak. There's some words you can't countenance. I did state that how much or if they choose to insure the bonds is optional. So, but what it all boils down to is it all presupposes making 7.5% or more on investing the money that they get from the bond sale. Okay. Now, in the last 5 years, the state's investments have run around, if it keeps on running 4.8%, and it's not going to help. And meanwhile, I, again, I'm no financial guru. Somebody's more than welcome to help us figure it out. If that stuff is playing in the market and we're debt servicing, at what point do the teachers, state police, and judges' pensions? And another question remains. You do remember the $26,000 per judge pay raise? I'm sorry, I get a little addled by the brown word. We just gave the judges 26 large a year in a raise. I don't know what's contemplated in this bond issue, but the fact is, as it stands now, circuit judges' pensions and retirements are tied to a percentage of what a sitting judge currently makes. Don't know if that's adequately fixed or not. So there's more questions than we have been provided answers. And the idea of borrowing money, go and play the market. I mean, I was having a little fun at the top of the show talking about Bob, that race. But it's the same thing in the long run, isn't it? You're borrowing money to go gambling. Would you do that? Middle of the month, payday comes in. Would you go down to the dog track and gamble your payday? Isn't it the same argument? You look at your lovely wife or your husband, and you say, well, honey, I'm going to take the paycheck and I'm going down to the dog track, because if that dog comes in or we hit a trifecta, we're going to be better off than we could even imagine for the next 5 or 10 years. Now, if, on the other hand, you are a sane and dutiful spouse, you're going to say, well, sweetie, do you really, really, really think seeing the whole payday on a gamble going to be a good idea? I mean, what if the dog doesn't come in? Oh, the dog's going to come in. You don't know that. Oh, sure I do. I've handicapped this. We've got experts. We've got experts who say that this dog is going to come in. Well, we've got experts who say that $5.5 billion is going to yield 7.5% or better. Haven't had an adequate response. I haven't talked to a lot of people that are in favor of this, frankly. What if you don't get the 7.5? Because if you say that to them, they tend to say, oh, but we will. Oh, but honey, the this is the best dog that's ever run on this track. He might even catch the little rabbit. Okay? Can you risk your household budget? Now, the fact of the matter is, here's what happens if the market goes south. Still going to be servicing that debt, and if you want anything in the way of state government services, we'll see tax increases then. And now this is coming from a guy who doesn't mind a mill here, a penny there, if it's going for something. If it's servicing Medicaid. If it's doing something that benefits everyone. If we have better roads, if we have better schools, if we're paying teachers more, for instance. Excess levy and bond, I supported when it was on the ballot. But that was not this kind of a gamble. That was not this kind of case of failure. Because, among other things, in these school bonds, we have decades of experience on which to rely. But West Virginia has never gone into debt as a state the way we're talking about here. And going into debt in a market that is as volatile as this one, you sure you want to do that? I mean, it's up to you. Again, I'm not sitting here winning style points with my party because I oppose this thing. But I have to make decisions based on close to home. And the closest thing to home, my lovely wife and I, we're halfway through our working lives. But the little ones aren't. The eldest has 1 year of high school left. None of the others have even hit high school. So those are the since they don't get to vote, those are the ones I have to take into account when I go to the ballot box. And so far, I have not been given sufficient data to show me that this is foolproof. But I'll be candid with you. If somebody comes along and shows me something and says it's foolproof, and it's still going into the market and it's still going on the roulette wheel or to the craps tables, because that is what Wall Street is. Tell me it's foolproof. I'm going to be suspicious of that. I suppose there's a way to win me over on this, but I've got to, before I gamble my children's future, I have got to know rock solid, rock bottom, that I am acting in their best interest. And to a certain extent, some of this is shame on them. But again, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a state police officer, and I'm not a circuit judge. So I'm not going to be subject to the scare tactics of you won't get your pension if you don't pass this bond. Because I do know that the plan is already in place to pay these things one way or the other on a pay-as-you-go plan, even if it hurts. What I don't know is what happens if the market tanks. Market tanks and our money, I know, only stock market. Cool. What's 60% of $5.5 billion? But you know what? Right now it stinks. Right now, it's scary. Right now, I feel like with some Republicans. Whew. I mean, lupper. I have my reasons for opposing this. Opposing. My reasons are very real. Lessons about trying to bet to an inside straight. Phone number is 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Talking in church.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep everyone safer. The Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. For more information, visit vehiclemanager.com.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
You playing hide and seek with the kids?
No. They spilled chocolate milk on the new couch, and I'm counting so that I won't yell at them.
You bought a new couch?
Patience. Use it before you lose it.
10, 9.
From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. For practical ideas you can use in your family, visit family.mormon.org.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. East Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 8 o'clock.
If you seek the help of a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit cfp.net.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Chance of thunderstorms this evening will persist. After midnight, we'll settle back for an early morning low around 61. A few showers early, followed by isolated thunder late in the afternoon, with a high for our part of West Virginia around 80. And look forward to a quiet tomorrow night, and then just a slight threat for more thunderstorms. Typical summer pattern unfolding for Wednesday, with a high in the low 80s again. I'm meteorologist Charlie Sill from the Weather Channel.
News Talk 620, WWNR.
It's your second hour in the liberal sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back, 6.5 minutes after 8 o'clock. Remember, this is that great line from the Nixon Watergate tapes. Every now and then, Nixon would get going real good, and you'd just see expletive deleted. That's what we do here. Expletives deleted. So, you know, you'll have that from time to time. I don't mean anything by it, but you just can't necessarily say those words. Ed's been waiting. Hey, Ed, your head on.
Good evening, Bob. How are you?
Oh, pretty good. A little scare there for a minute.
You're a little scared.
Well, had a little scare, you know.
What's that?
No, just the bad language. Never mind. Not yours.
Oh, okay. Well, I got plenty. just kidding.
I know.
But on the bond issue, they can register me for against it, and it's not altogether not knowing completely about it. The people that made this mess are to blame, along with us, for putting people that's no better management of money down there. We should have been paying as we go, and in the future, we should pay as we go, and if we can't, we don't extend this end to where it makes a hardship on everybody else involved.
Well, where were we all when they were letting this go down in the past? I mean, you raise a very good point, Ed. Were we just asleep at the switch, or worrying about some abortion bill?
It wasn't put out, Bob. I mean, you know, I would have called in. I would have done anything to.
If I
found out how we was getting behind like this.
This has been going on for years.
Had to be that much. But you know what? Some way, the legislators should be held responsible, and I'm not talking about the voting them out. I'm talking about they should have to be bonded or whatever it takes when they make these kind of mistakes, where they have to be held responsible, or the insurance companies that insure them. And if that costs them $200 or $300 a year, they're getting paid plenty for it anyway. It's a stinking shame that the things has got where they are. But what we do from here is going to be a big step, and I'm going to give you some feelings probably that you're not going to, you know, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but probably you won't see them the way I do. But $40,000 a year, if that's the actual pay that was quoted, I think that's a substantial, and they're talking about getting more in the fall, bringing the legislators back and getting more money, which I am totally against. That when you negotiate with a private company or a company that's got a union or whatever, then it's plain to see what we can afford, and what you get is what they can afford right then. But now this stringing this stuff out on down the road is plumb ridiculous, and I think that the teachers should have to pay part, you know, they should have to come up with $500 a year on each one of these on their pension and their insurance both to help out. I mean, don't just because you got the numbers to put a legislator in down there, bully around, because pretty soon you lose that. And these fear factors are centering into it. They can stick them. That's another reason I'm against it.
That's one of the problems, Ed, is that we seem to be running government by fear. I mean, let's just run through a few things. And, you know, this is our state government. This is you and me. These are people acting in our names, right?
Mm-hmm.
okay?
Supposedly.
Yeah, we knuckled under to the insurance industry because we were told that we were afraid that if we didn't, the insurance company wouldn't love us as much as they ought to. Yeah, I know. And now it's going to be, well, you know, teachers, state policemen, judges, you might not get your pension if you don't pass this boondoggle. So, again, fear.
Yeah.
We passed a bunch of stupid so-called, well, just anti women's insides bills because we are afraid of the pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. At some point, I would like to have someone in the legislature, Ed, who doesn't act out of fear, but acts out of foresight and oh, I don't know, maybe even intelligence.
You're kidding. Not for not for the kind we got here in the Senate, and then a couple of them you got over there. They're going to go along with whatever's easy to do and hope the people don't look at our record. But I've got the record of the senator that represents three counties, three or four of the counties here, and we're going to make sure that gets out when it comes time to.
Well, good. But the thing is, you know, Ed, there are senators out there that have kids that are my kids' age and younger, and I don't know how you can sit there and ballyhoo this bond deal when you're indebting them. It's
right.
One, you know, if I go to the bank and I sign a note and I make a promise to pay that money back, okay,
mm-hmm.
and say I'm buying a new car. Well, if I don't pay that money back, they come get the car, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, what happens if these geniuses that are maybe 10 or 15 or 20 years away from retirement who want to do this $5.5 billion nightmare, who do they come get if they go belly up? They come get my kid's future.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You know another reason I'm against it? Let's put this back in their lap down there, Mr. Manchin and the rest of them, and let them work it out. It shouldn't be on us to have to wrestle with a problem like this when they're the ones that created it. And whatever they have to do, and Bob, I'm telling you straight up, I'd give $1,000 for the first year if people would make a commitment to help get rid of this thing, along with some concessions by the teachers instead of them trying to bully their way through. And that I'm very strong on that.
Well, that's like the circuit judges, okay? I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this one. A circuit judge's retirement, unless they've changed it, actually a percentage. Okay, if you work for a living, they tell you that your pension is going, and you've got a pension, your pension is going to be X, right? It's going to be some number, okay? Well, if you're a circuit judge in the state of West Virginia, you don't necessarily know what that number is. You just know that it's going to be 75% of whatever a judge on the bench right now makes.
And you know something else goes along with that? 26, you know, the average worker, if you're lucky, gets 2 to 8% raise. This judge raise right off the top looks like a 25% or more raise, depending on what they're making now.
Well, I mean, they're making over $26,000 a year bump.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That is a ridiculous raise when the things are like they are in this state.
Well, dig this, Ed. A circuit judge, okay? A circuit judge in this state, his term or hers is 8 years. In the Supreme Court of West Virginia, the term is 12 years. You don't even have to serve two terms as a circuit judge. You don't have to be elected twice before you clear your pension.
You qualify for that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, all I can tell the people is for once in your life, throw this right back in their face and let them work it out, regardless of what they have to do. But let's not pass it on to our kids, you know, and our grandkids. But I'll get off of that unless you're...
No, that's okay. No, that's right.
You know, these, you hear on the radio about these other people that's all, we shouldn't have no minimum wage, no raise on the minimum wage. And yet our state is what, 46th in, income?
Yeah, around there.
And they turn around, these conservatives, they say that on one hand, they turn around and they say, that there shouldn't be no minimum wage raised, but that we're the poorest people in the United States, about 46, how do they expect us to get more and pay more taxes if they're going to keep some of these workers at a minimum?
Well, like the answer to that is that these workers need to get another job, a second job.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe a third job.
Yeah. Well, I mean, some of these businesses, like Century 21 and the ones the morning show host is on, the working people should realize that these people are the ones that push this kind of stuff and should not patronize their places. Anybody that's against a working man that's got all the burden on his shoulder, and especially the union, should know better than go to buy land or a house from people like this. And would they continue? They cut their own throat, Bob, is the problem the working people.
Drive through a Walmart parking lot any given Saturday and just try, see if you see any union.
You will. I guarantee you will. Anywhere you go, you see them turning off that's got the sticker on and going in. But the main thing is the ones, and Walmart has got a track record now where they closed that place down in
Canada.
In Canada. And you know what? That's a threat that hangs over all those workers' heads. But no more security, job security than they got, no more benefits. That ought to tell them that it ain't worthwhile. They can do that good flipping hamburgers anywhere.
Well, what I don't understand is why someone who is a conservative will gladly support Walmart. It's a fact. You're getting there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, these people generally hate welfare, and there they are giving it away as best as they can. Walmart, Walmart can't locate in fast enough.
I know. And, they look, what it is, it's a surface look. They're looking at jobs right now, but they ain't looking at the fact that these people are having to go get their medical care and subsidized by welfare, in other words.
Right.
And it's just pitiful. But I want to bring up something and ask you if you saw 60 Minutes last night.
No, I did not. Frankly, I worked.
They had a fellow on there that's against Pfizer. Well, he works for Pfizer, one of the top people. And he was doing a little whistleblowing on them, talking about the medicine, the markups, and we should be able to get the imported medicine like Europe. And he defied all that they are supposed to believe in by saying that medicine was as safe as any. There had never been a case of any wrongdoing or sickness. And this guy for Pfizer got on there and talked about, the reason we're doing that is to prevent it from happening. And of all the millions of prescriptions that's come over here from Canada and other places, we've never had a case of it.
No.
You're talking about crapping the people around.
Well, there have been cases, Ed, to be fair, cases right here in the United States where people watered down patients' chemo drugs. But that wasn't some terrorist. That was a greedy pharmacist.
Yeah, that was a pharmacist. I remember hearing about that in the last year or so. Another one is, let's see what I've got here, Bob.
That's all right. Go ahead.
The guy, you remember the guy that made the news here in the last 3 months that was a whistleblower?
Yeah.
They nearly killed him Saturday night or Sunday night. Had shoe prints in his face where 7 guys stomped him and told him he better keep his mouth shut. The guy that blew the whistle on, I think it had to do with the medical field too. I just can't remember his name and so forth. But they had him in the national news this evening. It's getting to where we're going to have to break out our 44s if you speak out against what's going on in this nation.
Well, Mark Felt, deep throat. If he came along today, he'd die.
Yeah. They'd kill him. And it's hard to tell what kind of pressures are put on people. And this guy is still talking. Him and his wife both are still talking about what's going on. But they said absolutely the heel prints was in that guy's face and stamped in his face. And he had a gash looked like about 2.5 inches long and pretty deep on one cheekbone. I mean, he looked like a dead man. They had him in.
This has become, listen, Ed, this has become a frightening. We behave in frightful fashions, and we do so as a reflection of our leadership.
Mm-hmm. our leadership, well, our leadership shows what they're doing over in Iraq.
Right.
That alone is a reflection of what we're coming to if we're not careful. But yet, you know, if you and I strap on a gun, which is really legal, if as long as you do it in the open, then they're going to find reason to nail us. But these other people, like this Al Capone group that attacked this guy over the weekend, is allowed to do stuff like that and then turn around and tell him he better keep his mouth shut.
Ed, it's always good to talk to you. We got to roll on.
Yeah, I got to get off here too, Bob.
All right,
and we'll talk to you later.
All right.
Alrighty.
See ya. And a quick commercial break, then we'll come back. And comments are always welcome. 252-6220-9967. This is Ed on Bob and Kate.
Hey, look, it's a text message.
What's it say?
Here for you.
Really?
Hey, Cellular One wants you to get the message. We're here for you. That's right. Cellular One is here for you in Beckley, Pineville, Bluefield, Welsh, Lewisburg, White Sulphur Springs, Oak Hill, and more places in West Virginia and the country than ever before. The company that Beckley Register Herald readers voted favorite place to buy cellular phones is here for you with loads of anytime minutes, including unlimited nights and weekends. Plus, Cellular One's here with flip phones, camera phones, even free phones. But most importantly, Cellular One is here with dependable local customer service. Really? So get a phone, get a plan, and get it now. From Cellular One, West Virginia's only locally owned and operated wireless provider. We're here for you. Bring your home or wireless number to Cellular One and get free activation and a free phone. Visit your neighborhood Cellular One store for more information.
It's United Way's first annual United Way Golf Scramble, Saturday, June 11th at Willowwood Country Club. It's sponsored by Summers County ARH Hospital. Entry fee is $30 per Willowwood member, $40 for a non-member. That includes green fees, cart, beverages, lunch, and door prizes. Tee time is 1 o'clock. There's a limited number of golfers allowed, so please make your reservations today. Just call 253-2111. 253-2111. The United Way Golf Scramble, Saturday, June 11th at Willowwood Country Club.
WWNR. Beckley,
West Virginia's only live nighttime talker, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. We had the story Friday evening about the two Florida teens who were bored and looking for something to do, so they literally stomped and beat the life out of a homeless man because they were bored and looking for something to do. And as I mentioned, turned into a pretty rotten, mean place. Consequence of that, well, here. I've told you about my daughter having a survivor from the Sobibor Nazi death camp, and he said, well, I asked him, do you see any similarities now and then? And then I ran across this by a man named Picador. Writes, one of our neighbors is moving. I've been in this neighborhood for about 6 years now, but didn't really know them very well at all, just waves and nods mostly. So I heard the moving van pull up this morning. When I got home this evening, I happened to spy my neighbor. He's like 85 years old, walks and moves very slowly. Standing on the sidewalk next to the van, I walked over and shook his hand. We started talking. I asked him where he was moving, and he said, back to Germany. I'd been stationed in Germany for 2 years while in the military, so I lit up and commented about how beautiful the country was and inquired if he was going back because he missed it. No, he answered me, I'm going back because I've seen this before. Then commenced to explain that when he was a kid, he watched with his family in fear as Hitler's government committed atrocity after atrocity and no one was willing to say anything. He said the news refused to question the government and the ones who did were not in the newspaper business much longer. You know, you say things that might not be popular with certain communities and the next thing you know, you're not printing a newspaper anymore. Opinion is not welcome. Said good neighbors, people he had known all his life, turned against his family and other Jews, grabbing onto the hate and superiority, quote, as if they were starved for it. Said he was too old to see it happen right in front of his eyes again. and too old to do anything about it. So he was taking his family back to Europe on Thursday, where they would be safe from too old on the other to fight what he saw happening was wearing on him. I gotta tell you, the writer says, it was chilling. I let him talk, and the whole time my gut was churning like I had mutated butterflies in my stomach. When it was finished, I shook it hard until his knuckles turned white, and he was shaking. He was somewhat ironic to run across that. On the other hand, to have my high school-age daughter telephone conversation, someone who was slated to die at the hands of the new with something like that. Now, see, if you say something like that, generally the right wing, that's not fair. George Bush and Hitler. I didn't say he was. We're going to take our bottom of the hour break now. Outside Beckley at 800-620-996. Neighbors, people he had known all his life, turned against his quote as if they were.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. More than half the state is under a severe thunderstorm watch until early this evening. The National Weather Service says the storms have the capability of producing wind gusts of up to 80 miles an hour, hail 2.5 inches diameter, also dangerous lightning. The storms moving in from Ohio are being caused by very unstable air ahead of a cold front moving into the Ohio River Valley this afternoon. The watch, which covers 35 of the state's 55 counties, and including the greater Beckley area, is in effect until 8 o'clock tonight. Once again, a severe thunderstorm watch now in effect for the entire Newstalk 620 listening area until 8 o'clock tonight. A new Marshall president has been selected, but his name won't be released until he accepts the assignment. Search committee members unanimously selected the candidate today, but say they want to offer the position to him in person before making their choice public. Earlier today, the number of finalists was reduced from 4 to 3 after Western Carolina University Chancellor John Bardo withdrew his name from consideration. 5 pit bull owners were cited, 1 arrested during a rally to raise awareness of the breed in Huntington yesterday. The 5 were cited for failing to muzzle their dogs, which is a violation of a city ordinance that requires pit bulls, Rottweilers, and wolf-dog hybrids to be muzzled when they're outside. 1 owner was also charged with disorderly conduct and obstruction after he was issued a citation. Rally organizer Sabrina Jeffers says she organized the rally to show people that pit bulls are family dogs and not at all violent. The 5 were part of a group pit bull enthusiasts who held a, quote, walk-in at Ritter Park in Huntington. Truckers and other commercial vehicle drivers prepare to be stopped. At a minute past midnight, the Public Service Commission will launch a 72-hour road check on I-68 near Morgantown and I-77 near Bluefield. All commercial vehicles passing through the two areas will be required to pull over for a possible safety inspection. The PSC regulates commercial vehicle safety in the state, and this week's effort is part of a nationwide campaign. That's the news. Now the forecast. Again, a severe thunderstorm watch in effect for the greater Beckley area until 8 o'clock tonight. Cold front moving through the Ohio Valley is producing the thunderstorms. The rest of the night after, say, midnight tonight will be partly cloudy with some fog, and then tomorrow mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
And I'm Laura Miller. It is still unclear if the third vote by nurses in Petoskey, Michigan, will lead to Teamster representation. The hospital contends that the nurses who went on strike in 2002 have been permanently replaced and the votes shouldn't count. Arguments have been turned in to the National Labor Relations Board, who could rule in 2 or 3 weeks. As it stands, 195 votes have been counted against representation, 109 have voted for it, and 183 votes are currently in contention limbo.
The United Steelworkers of America is raising concerns over DuPont's approach to the community. A report was released in May saying that a potentially dangerous chemical produced at a Fayetteville, North Carolina plant had been discovered in local ground and surface water. The union represents nearly 1,800 DuPont workers and is criticizing the company's lack of action in reporting such incidents. Joe Drexler is director of USW Special Projects.
we're starting to be concerned as to what else DuPont is not disclosing. We're trying to put enough pressure on them to, instead of trying to cover up things, to come forth and to develop some confidence.
He says Europe has shown that chemical plants can be operated safely, and the company needs to be honest with the community and establish better relations. Drexler says the USW believes that transparency will guarantee a future for the company, its workers, and its plants.
We want those plants to prosper. We want those plants to stay in place for many years, if not decades to come. And the way to do that is by establishing better relations with the communities.
Teamsters returned to work on Sunday after a two-week strike against Coca-Cola. Four locals representing more than 1,600 drivers, warehouse workers, and packers struck at seven of the company's Los Angeles plants over wages and health care costs. Three of the locals accepted contracts, but the fourth rejected the deal. Respecting the decision, the other locals would not cross picket lines. On Sunday, the workers voted again, and the contract was accepted. Workers at a Coca-Cola plant in Connecticut ended their strike at the beginning of last week.
Here's today's Dow Bob Report. How much are outsourcing firms paying their employees? Depends on the country. In Canada, workers average more than $25,000 per year. Romania and India, between $5,000 and $6,000 per year. The Vietnamese only average $3,200 per year. Those numbers are from a report released by the consulting firm Neo IT. According to the report of the 18 primary outsourcing countries, India enjoys the highest year-to-year growth in wages.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Thank you for listening to the station that puts you one-on-one with the people and the issues that matter most to you. News Talk 620, WWNR. Back to radio for the rest of us. Head on.
Welcome back. 25 minutes, a little less. Before 9 o'clock, we're about halfway through with this Monday night edition of Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid, tickled to death to be back with you. There's a beauty, and there are surprises, too. On the one hand, you got to watch out for the... On the other, sometimes the serendipity, or maybe what Jung would have called synchronicity, howling through the air at you. I was sharing the story a few minutes ago about this concentration camp survivor, as well as the one saying that the Republicans look a lot like the Nazis, and they act a lot like the Nazis. So the intrepid John Kepi, the inimitable John Kepi, Johnny on the spot on the telephones. Oh, that was good, Johnny on the spot. Phone. One of the lines lights up, he picks it up, click. He picks it up again, click. On the third time, this guy finally works up the nerve to speak to my producer. Not to me. Oh, no. See, when you're a hateful right-wing fascist lurker, you won't talk to me. So all he, you know, John does what John does. He picks up the phone and says, Head On with Bob Kincaid, name and topic. You've heard it. And this wingnut monkey, this Republican apparatchik, says, when are you going to get that damned idiot off of there? What did it say in the story? Let me see. No one was willing to say anything. He said the news refused to question the government. The ones who did were not in the newspaper business much longer. When are you going to get that damned idiot off of there? Well, monkey lurker, since you wouldn't give your name, it's not worth speaking to you. But that's how it is. They can't, you see, they can't engage in real discussion or dialogue. All they can do is abuse. It is. It's like when the Nazis went through the Jewish sections of town and would put bricks through windows. I'm as white Anglo-Saxon Protestant as any human being you've ever met. When are you going to get that damned idiot off of there? He's criticizing dear leader. He's saying we're a lot like the Nazis. Well, sir, mind you that the Third Reich cooked up a reason to invade Poland and swore up and down that Poland had weapons with which Germany could not contend as an use. Unlike anything familiar, Let's go to the phones. 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. Jethro's with us. Hey, Jethro, you're head on.
Bob, what's going on?
Just dealing with the monkeys.
Yeah, actually, Poland, it was the liberation of Poland.
Well, we did that too, didn't we?
Yeah, we're doing some liberating, all right. You're going to end up jailing or killing every one of them. So it came out in these Downing Street memos that the Americans and British in 2002.
Yeah.
You know.
And the intelligence was being fixed around the problem.
Right, but also they doubled their number of bombing runs. They started increasing the bombing secretly, kind of like Nixon and, you know, Cambodia and Laos. But they actually started doubling the number of bombing, and they were actually trying to provoke Saddam into doing something so we could go ahead and declare war on him and go on in, and,
yeah,
and we wouldn't have to make up all these lies and all. So, yeah. But I'm not getting it. Some of these people still want to believe that that Bush and the boys are, you know, they're doing what's right.
Well, that, you know, how could they do anything else? I mean, they're God's anointed, aren't they, Jethro?
Well, and Cheney has the nerve to come on national TV and say that the insurgency is in its last throes.
Yeah. Because they found that bunker?
Yeah. I think they knew about that bunker for a long time. That's just something they needed.
Well, did you hear about the expanse of it? This bunker that was discovered, they said, north of Fallujah. It's in Al Anbar province. And it was like room after room after room. You can't build that while bombs are falling all around you.
Right.
And those weren't fresh modern munitions they had laid out there either, were they?
I don't think so. I think that we've had that bunker for a long time. You know, no one was there. There was no fight for it. And they're going to tell you that, you know, there's evidence of recent usage. But as far as I know, there are bunkers like that all over Iraq.
Oh, there probably are. I mean, Saddam built a bunch of them.
And they built that, you know, in anticipation of what we were going to do. We thought they were going to stand and defend Baghdad, and it was going to be like a big World War II scenario where we go in and overpower them, and, you know, then we're going to liberate them all. But that...
Well, they weren't stupid, were they?
I mean, we were the ones that were stupid.
Yeah, if you're fighting on your home turf, you just melt into the background and live to fight another day, right?
Exactly, and that's exactly what they're doing now. And they're, you know, here we are with another offensive that goes along with finding this bunker. You know, they're trying to tout that the Iraqis are in charge of this and their troops are leading the way. And it's just another crock-a-hooey. It's another propaganda ploy trying to cover up what's really going on over there, which is they're running us off. Nobody wants us there.
Well, no. I mean, we take polls over there. You know, two-thirds of Iraqis want us gone. Even the ones that like us want us gone.
And meanwhile, the our policy over there is so stinking, so crazy, so insane. We're the best recruiting tool that the terrorists have to sign somebody up against us. I mean, you know, you couldn't make up a better recruiting tool than our reality over there.
Well, every expert in the world now, I read this article, maybe it was on Friday, every expert in the world now says that we have created a greater terrorist problem by virtue of what we've done over there. That we have, it's a seedbed, it's a breeding ground for terrorists, and they're not necessarily staying there. They're going to go somewhere else and strike another day.
Sure they are. They're not going to stand and let us come over there and carpet bomb them. You know, the Pentagon was warned about a possible guerrilla war, but just like Cheney in his last throws, you know, he's sitting there on TV telling how it's going to be a cakewalk and we're going to be cheered and they're going to be dancing in the streets. Yeah.
Well, there's dancing in the streets. They dance every time they kill one of ours.
So anyway, I believe John Kerry allegedly is supposedly going to introduce this memo to Congress. I think this is the start of some impeachment proceedings. And basically, you know, Cheney, they're in the last throes of spinning all of these lies.
Well, if there are impeachment proceedings, and then we've really got to see what happens in the 2006 election in order to we've got to have a Democratic majority.
I think by then some of the people are going to be fed up. I think the tide is starting to turn. There's only like a 37% approval rating for Bush's goings on over there in Iraq. The people are starting to wake up. Maybe it'll take to 2008, but I think the ball is starting to roll.
Well, whatever happens, if we can get a bill of impeachment launched, it has got to include not only Bush, but Cheney as well, because we do ourselves no favor by, you know, forcing Bush to step down only to have the puppet replaced with the puppet master.
Oh, yeah, and others, too. I mean, Amnesty International, you know, this is, in the line of the terrorist war, Amnesty International wants Rami and Alberto Gonzalez prosecuted.
And yet, interestingly enough, what was it, 2003, when Cheney or Rumsfeld was glowingly quoting Amnesty International, talking about Saddam's excesses and his horrors and his kill. Did you catch that?
Oh, yeah, and they've used Amnesty International for more than just Iraq and trying to, make Saddam into the devil. They have quoted Amnesty International on several different purposes, but now that we're in the crosshairs of Amnesty International, they're insignificant, they're absurd. So even after these guys get out of office, it's just going to be like Henry Kissinger. There's going to be some countries
where they're not welcome.
They're not going to go to, because if they do, they're going to get arrested.
Well, it'll be like Pinochet going off to the hospital in London. Next thing you knew, he was arrested.
Exactly. And Amnesty International is not the only one. I mean, even the Red Cross said that our actions were tantamount to torture, and I think Human Rights Watch
right
was also raising some questions. So the American people who don't think that this is a non-issue, they need to wake up to this and quit believing this myth that's being this web that's being woven, trying to use this propaganda to cloud the minds of the Americans. This thing of that the America could do no wrong, and our people would never do that, and that's not us. We're the moral high ground. It's just, that's not true anymore.
It wasn't true at the end of Vietnam. It's not true now.
Exactly, and we're basically becoming monsters, and we've got our, I guess we're the Fourth Reich. We're not going to be exactly like the Nazis were, but we're heading in that direction. It's sad.
It is. It's pitiful is what it boils down to.
I got
some other callers on, but it's always good to hear from you, man.
All right, Bob. I'll call back later.
That would work, too. You're more than welcome.
All right, Bob.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye now. And let's see. Let's roll. Okay. Gary. Hey, Gary, you're head on. There you are. Gary.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Doggone it. We've got several lines here, and but he bailed out and chickened out and ran away.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard to understand some people.
Well, Jethro's a hard act to follow, but you tell him I've still got my plunger with a little bit of cow pucky smeared on the end just for good measure.
All right, I think he probably heard you.
Hey, did you get that song I sent you?
Yes, I did.
What did you think of that?
I'll be honest, I haven't had a chance to listen to it because...
Oh. Well, if you lose it, let me know, because it is absolutely awesome, and it's just about what you're talking about. It's about George Bush.
Well, I'll go in and listen to it in the production room after.
Yeah, I think you'll really, really like it. I mean, it's one of my favorite songs.
Cool.
But you were talking about that old man going back to Germany, and I've got some friends that were over there quite recently, and he might pack up and come right back, because over there in Germany right now, what they explained to me is basically it's such a tightly controlled society that if it's not expressly permitted, it is forbidden.
Yeah, but they're not rounding up Jews yet, are they?
No, they'll never do that ever again, I'm pretty sure.
And I think that's really what's of concern to him. The thing is, I don't think he's worried about being rounded up for being a Jew over here, but he's afraid of being rounded up for having the wrong kind of ideas. I mean, we really are reaching a state in this country, Gary, where what you believe outside of your outside religion can get you in hot water.
Yeah, I agree with you, but the thing is, the way I see it, it's a problem that's coming from both sides of the aisle. It's not just a right-wing thing. There's a left-wing element there, too.
Okay, well, I mean...
What they're trying to do, they want to build up this, what they call this New World Order and all that stuff. It's one big worldwide fascist state.
But I think a lot on my side of the aisle have turned their backs on that, because you're hard-pressed to find a bunch of Democrats really, really pushing for, say, NAFTA, Central American Free Trade Agreement.
I believe that's going to sail right through.
I hope not. I hope not. I mean, I watched some votes just to get an idea of, you know, who signed to sort the Dinos out from the Democrats.
Yeah. You know, in that song, they started out with that speech, that New World Order speech by George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
In the very last part there, he says, "This does not mean that we will forfeit our national sovereignty or we will act against our own interest." Well, that's just a big lie. That's what this has all been about. We have forfeited our sovereignty because these...
Well, it depends, though, if you parse that closely, Gary. It depends, doesn't it, on who our is. Now, everyone assumes that means. But if our means me and my corporate buddies,
yeah,
there's been no sovereignty sacrifice, and there's been no interest sacrifice.
Well, you know, we can be hauled into these courts now, these trade courts, for one thing, and they can say that we violated this part of the agreement or that part of the agreement, and they can levy sanctions on us, and they've done that.
Isn't it funny that we're willing to do that, but we wouldn't ratify participation in the international?
Yeah, well, I agree with you there, but maybe there's a reason for that.
Oh, we know the reason for that.
You thinking along the same lines I am?
Yeah, and all the liberal, decent, progressive people have this little mental image of George Bush standing in the dock at the International Criminal Court and being tried for a war criminal.
Yeah.
That's what
I think you hit the nail on the head. They're afraid to put U.S. leaders in that sort of position of jeopardy.
And the thing is, if we're so all good all the time, what have we to fear?
Well, true, but they're kind of like kind of reminds me of Slobodan Milosevic. You know,
well, they're
trying to go, did he?
Yeah, they're trying him. They're working on the Darfur genocide. I got no problem with that.
Yeah,
I'd kind of like for the United States to be a little bit more involved, so that and we are tangentially involved in the Milosevic thing, but I'd like to see a little bit more involvement from the United States, just because, we did a pretty good job with Nuremberg.
Uh-huh.
Robert Jackson did a pretty doggone good job. But now, you know, how could we participate in something like that when we're on the wrong side of so many issues, Gary?
There's a guy right now that he was one of the lawyers at Nuremberg, and he's got a website up. Have you seen it?
No.
I think his name's Feltzer or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a really interesting website. You could email him and everything, but he's one of the lawyers there on that Nuremberg trial.
Well, that's kind of like the conversation my daughter had with the man from Sobibor. She found out, just called him. And had this wonderful conversation, and again, you know, when a guy who's had the tattoo, mm-hmm. and lived in a death camp, tells you that we're living in scary times in America, I'd say a smart guy pays attention.
Well, we are living in scary times, and I heard you use that example about those kids. I think it was in Florida, just beat this guy to death.
Yeah.
You hear about what happened here in Raleigh County? These three people, one woman and two men, went out and just beat the living daylights out of two guys, damn near killed them.
Where? When?
It's been a while back, but they had the article in the paper here about a week ago, and there's a big to-do about it because one of the girls, the girl that was involved in it, they beat this guy in the head with a frying pan. She's the one that did the beating with a frying pan. They shot the guy in the ear with a BB gun. I mean, one guy is so messed up, he's in a rest home right now. And they let this girl out on bail. And she's in North Dakota, been convicted, and they're trying to get her to come back. Or she claims she's in North Dakota one time, and then Montana another, and all that kind of stuff. And the prosecutor's office even failed to prosecute her for one of the beatings. They really dropped the ball on that, and the man's family's really mad about it because she wasn't even prosecuted for that. She wasn't added to the case docket or whatever.
Well,
I wish I still had the article.
I know what you're talking. I thought you were talking about something a little bit more recently, but
do you know what case I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I do. And
I mean, how could something? I mean, look at that. I mean, you could look at that woman's picture and tell she was just had the devil in her.
Well, yeah, and didn't she say she was all messed up on meth?
Well, I mean, to beat somebody in the head with a frying pan, shoot them in the ears with a BB gun. I mean, it's just as bad as anything you're going to read about anywhere.
Right, and the kids in Florida, they didn't just stomp this guy to death. They left and they went back and stomped him some more. Three times they went back in the woods to stomp on this guy.
They had a case like that in in Michigan, where I used to live. These kids, they went in and they beat this old guy to death like that. And what was shocking to me, I mean shocking, was the amount of community support that these boys that killed this guy got. It was in the paper, they were saying, well, they're really good kids, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Nah, at that point, you're not really good kids. I don't believe in the death penalty. I don't believe in killing teenagers. But, you know, when you beat a guy, no. And there, I mean, there have been cases, I forget where it was, but I remember a couple of boys went in and beat the snot out of an old guy for, you know, literally a bag full of change.
Thrill killings, yeah. I mean, well, that happened up there on Maxwell Hill even. They went up there and they, two boys beat this old woman to death.
So the question is,
What are we doing in society to produce these type of people?
Right.
I mean, who are utterly cold-hearted.
You know, let's take a good, hard look, Gary. The fact remains, and I've mentioned a number of times, the last time in this country that the majority of households were single-wage earners with maybe mommy at home was during the Carter administration.
Yeah.
Woman wants to go into the workforce, I say, bully for her, let her go ahead. But when we reach a time in this nation, Gary, where that it's not a choice anymore, where mommy has to work two jobs, daddy has to work two jobs, and they still can't make ends meet, and the kids are left at sixes and sevens from pillar to post after school during the summer, that's how this happens. And we have Republicans to thank for it.
Well, I got some theories about that. One theory is this. When women decided to enter the workforce, what happened is you increased the labor pool, and therefore you cheapened the price of labor. You see what I'm talking about?
I understand. And, well, there's some proof in that, in the fact that women
now,
do.
Well, that's a fact. But I believe when you pull more people into the labor pool, that you actually are going to cheapen the price of labor. And that's one of the reasons, and only one of the reasons, that you have to have two-wage earners. Before, it was just a nice option.
Right. It was if you wanted to go to work and get the pool or the blue Buick or whatever, fine.
And stop to think about something else. This is something I've thought about for a long time. America started out as a nation basically of farmers, with some small, you know, tradesmen and craftsmen and stuff like that, but primarily farmers. When corporate America began in its rise, it was more or less kind of a trade-off. It's like, okay, we'll give up our farms, we'll come to work for you, but we expect certain things.
You can see it in two industries, Gary. You see it in the rise of coal, and you see it in the rise of railroads.
Yeah, well, what happened, I think the workers more or less were betrayed on down the line.
Well, yeah. There was never any good faith involved on the part of the bosses. These people were expendable. If they died, so what? Get another one. There's another one waiting in line.
Well, I mean, even worse than the coal mines. Have you read about what went over the Hawk's Nest over there?
Oh, yeah. But I'm talking about 100 years before that. Yeah, the Hawk's Nest disaster, the greatest single industrial disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was another guy waiting in line. They'd tell the guy. He'd come out and say, you know, boss, and I said this, boss man, I ain't breathing so good. I need a break. And they'd say, no, you're fired. And they'd hire another guy to come in there. And Gauley Bridge became known as the city of the living dead.
Yeah.
You know, it was pathetic. I tell you, after what I did in the garden yesterday, Gary, though, I can tell you one thing. I have an immense respect for our immigrant farm laborers.
Are you talking about you were using some dust?
No. I'm talking about I was doing some work. I put in about 14 hours tilling up about 4,000 square feet of garden, you know, 100 by 40.
What, did you have a front tine or rear tine till?
Rear tine. I know, I had it easy.
Well, I mean, but, I'll say you probably wouldn't even be here today if you used the other guy.
Right, but after we got done with all that, then we planted. And we had a blast. It was fun, but you know what? It was bone-breaking, back-breaking, hard work. And I looked at my lovely wife, Gary, and I said, can you imagine doing this every day of your life?
Yeah,
and that's what it is.
That's a very, very big garden.
No, it's not half of what I had last year.
Well, are you doing wide row planting?
Yeah.
Okay, you know you get so much more that way.
Well, that's what I'm hoping for, but I still have more ground to clear. But the idea is that we undervalue labor. We used to think that there was honor in hard work, but now we think, boy, my lettuce sure has got expensive, and we don't even think of the fact that we're not paying, you know.
Well, some things, though, are way underpriced, in my opinion. I've seen a sign where you can get a dozen eggs, I think, for 78 cents.
Yeah.
Well, you stop to think about that. I mean, the guy that's selling those eggs can't be making hardly anything.
Well, no, those eggs are coming from factory farms, and it's mass produced. We started another topic and didn't have any business doing it. We're out of time, Gary. Good to hear from you, man.
Nice talking to you. I'll listen to that song.
I will. I'll go listen to it right after the show.
Okay.
Take care. Bye now. And let's see, more of your calls. See, I was trying to work my way through the list, and my lurker went. The news is coming up after that. More of your calls, 252-6200. Outside Beckley, 800-620-9967. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Proud of over 50 years of broadcasting history. You can depend on us. News Talk 620, WWNR, Beckley. It's 9 o'clock.
If you seek the help of a financial planner, you have the right to advice that is competent, ethical, and based on your needs. For the booklet, Your Rights as a Financial Planning Client, call Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards toll-free at 888-CFP-MARK. That's 1-888-237-6275. Or visit cfp.net.
News Talk 620 WWNR, keeping you informed with Southern West Virginia's most accurate and dependable forecast.
Here is your forecast from the Weather Channel. Chance of thunderstorms this evening will persist. After midnight, we'll settle back for an early morning low around 61. A few showers early, followed by isolated thunder late in the afternoon, with a high for our part of West Virginia around 80. And look forward to a quiet tomorrow night, and then just a slight threat for more thunderstorms. Typical summer pattern unfolding for Wednesday, with a high in the low 80s again. I'm meteorologist Charlie So from the Weather Channel.
News Talk 620, WWNR.
Radio for the real majority. Head On.
I hated our lurker ran away. There I was, trying to work through the list, going to give him plenty of time to... But, you know, that's what you're dealing with. You know, and I refer to him as the stump licker bunch. You know, bully their way, and if you just bully, if you just respond and defend yourself, they... How about that? Got an email from our friend David. And, you know, one of the beauties about being a... This is not the flush phlegm ball or the... you know, Sean Hannity playing songs about women who get beaten and thinking it's patriotism. Now, this is, you know, we have conversations. David tells me that I got diverted in my chat with verse about Bolshevik repression and oppression, cited by those who have lived it, and I silence of and wandered off into stories of the rats trapped in the maze tearing into each other. Those that have six digits blurred by time on the inside of it. Whenever you meet somebody that's got that tattoo, death camp tattoos, they don't have that T-shirt. Let's do go to the phones, 252-6200, outside Beckley, 800. Tells with us. Hey, Michelle, your head on.
Hey, Bob, what does tangential mean?
Tangential?
No, you used the word tangential.
I think I meant to say tangential.
Okay, okay, maybe it was. What does that mean?
Do you know what a tangent is in geometry?
No, I am not a math person.
Neither am I, and God only knows why I remember this, and I'm probably wrong in describing it, but it is a line departing from a line departing at a different angle from another line. So a tangent is to go off in a different direction.
Okay, so the root word is tangent.
Yeah.
Okay, I get it now. All right. Let me ask you. Okay, we are what? I don't have the figures in front of me, of course, but we're, what, 40-something in our wages?
Yeah, I believe so.
In West Virginia?
Right.
And yet we're fifth in home ownership?
Okay.
Something like that, right?
Maybe, yeah.
What does that say?
I don't know. I might have to chew on that for
and
a little
then
bit.
There's, we rank really low, like 40-something in internet access. And yet we rank really high in something else.
Well, where the housing is concerned, and I'm not being elitist at all. Okay?
No.
But where the housing is concerned, A lot of that has to do with the proliferation, I would guess, of manufactured housing in this state.
Well, I would think it would have to do with either the land being handed down,
that's
or
too.
Or the homes. the low cost of land. I mean, I live on a really, 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 really steep piece of property, but it's mine.
Yeah, Michelle lives straight up and down.
It's mine.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, we've worked hard to make it beautiful. We think it's beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, we work hard to get the firewood up and down and up and down and,
sure,
up and, down and all
sure.
that stuff. You know, so what's the problem with us being low and when we can afford
our own?
Why do we go to college? Why do we get a job in order to get our own houses? Is that not correct?
Well, no, I would disagree with you. I believe, Michelle, in learning for learning's sake.
Yes, that's true too.
I don't believe in going to college and treating it as trade school. I believe that college exists as it has existed since the founding of the first university, namely the Sorbonne in Paris. It is for purposes of learning. And the trade school aspect, I have a real problem with. And that goes into the larger curriculum. For instance, and this goes back to my experience years ago, and it's even worse now. I'd had some experience in archaeology. I wanted to study how to use a transit, you know, survey. And I wanted to learn that for archaeological purposes, for making me more valuable on digs. Well, I went to the civil engineering department. I said, I'd like to learn to run a transit and take your survey course. And they said, are you a civil engineering major? And I said, well, no. And they said, you can't course. Because I wasn't a civil engineering major. Because it's trade school. And by the same token, if some civil engineering major had come to the English department and wanted to take 400-level Shakespeare, they would have said no.
Well, that's not right.
No, it's not. And yet it has gotten worse.
No, that's not right at all.
But it is how it is.
Well, no. And we can't do anything about that? I mean, why is that the way it is? Why can't I?
Because we have largely taken a utilitarian view of education in this country, and it has trickled down to the high school. I don't know if you know this or not, but in high school in West Virginia now, when you hit ninth grade, when you are a ninth grader, Michelle, you are expected to decide what you're going to do for the rest of your life and declare a major in high school.
Get out.
Get in.
Get out.
No, I'm not kidding.
I think that's unrealistic.
No, it's unrealistic and it's downright mean. And then you take your cluster classes, and if you decide that, you know, you go in ninth grade and you want to be a brain surgeon, and 2 years later you want to be a fry cook, well, you screwed up your cluster and you can't graduate on time now.
Okay, but getting back to my point, these lists that we have, you know, we're first
46th
or we're second,
yeah,
or we're
45th. Yeah, sure.
What does that actually mean? It doesn't mean anything to me.
Well, they're all based on medians. They're all based on averages. I mean,
right. But if we're one of the lowest paying states, and we're one of the highest homeownership states, that means to me that you can come to West Virginia, or you can live in West Virginia and own your own land, which is
No, but it doesn't. It doesn't work that way.
That is the major thing to me.
But the thing is, that's not necessarily true, Michelle. What that is when you're looking at that home ownership, you're looking at it as compared with other states on a per capita basis.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that, I think you are correct, has to do with homes that are homesteads handed down.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it has to do with the cheap land. Some of it has to do, as I said, with the proliferation of manufactured housing. But it also has to do with the age of our population.
With the proliferation of manufactured housing.
Wait, please. I just threw you one there. The age of our population. We have the second oldest population in the 50 states. Okay? The only one that's older is Florida. So we've got that high home ownership because we've got a largely older population, that was able to buy a house back when, you know, back when it was possible to buy one and be a single wage earner home.
Or they've gone away and earned their money and came back and bought land.
Well, that's a possibility, too. There are people who retire here, and they're trying to build the retirement industry in West Virginia.
I'm just trying to understand why we're so down on ourselves because, you know, we're low on certain things.
Well,
you got
to understand where some of that comes from, Michelle. Some of this,
I'm so happy living here. I don't understand.
I'm not here because somebody put a gun to my head, okay?
Right.
I chose to be in West Virginia. I've lived in a lot of places and chose to be here because I believe that this is a sweet and precious and decent place.
It is, absolutely.
Okay, but what you've also got to take into account, Michelle, is that when you're dealing with all, not necessarily going to get the whole picture, and a lot of these numbers that are put out, you know, you hear it, and it comes from one political party in particular. For a particular reason, and they are forever saying, West Virginia's last in everything that's good and first in everything that's bad, because they have a political agenda to advance.
Well, I'm not buying it.
You know, in the last election cycle, we were told repeatedly, West Virginia is number one for being a judicial hellhole. Which means if you look at it in proper perspective, we were actually number two in the nation in protecting our consumers.
That's exactly what I'm saying. I'm not buying the propaganda
of
these lists. But a lot of people are. And a lot of people are exploiting these lists. Oh, well, West Virginia is 45th in this and 42nd in this.
Right. And look who's doing the exploiting, and you'll understand a little bit better.
Well, I don't know who's doing the exploiting. I'm hearing about these lists.
You always get mad every time I tell you about the rotten little Republicans, but there they are.
I don't always get mad.
Well, okay, the rotten little Republicans exploit this stuff. West Virginia's 46th in wages earned. West Virginia's number one in judicial health.
But we're happy. Aren't we a happy state? Aren't we more or less a content state?
For the most part, we are. And a lot of the national weirdness hasn't gotten here yet, but it's creeping in, Michelle. Give them a chance.
Yeah. Okay, I'm working up to the national.
Well, when they sent that flyer around to Arkansas and West Virginia during the last election, telling people John Kerry's going to burn your Bible, when the Republican Party did that.
Oh, okay,
what do you think?
Like flushing the Quran or burning?
Yeah, what
the
do you
flag?
Think? What do you think they meant to do by that? They meant to make people unhappy and to make and to get people embroiled in the culture
war.
Yeah,
but I can't
and
be
they
bothered
succeeded.
With that.
Well, that's because. You think you do your best to think with the better part of, with the best most of your brain, okay? There are a lot of people that got that pamphlet that said John Kerry's gonna come get my Bible. Well, blessed be. I'm gonna vote for that holy man George Bush. And 4 years before that, they literally brought Charlton Heston's rotten old rear end over here to the armory, and he stood up and said. To the mouth breathing faithfully, he said, "Al Gore's gonna get your guns," and they went, "Yes, Al Gore's gonna get my guns." When that's crazier in the head than a hog is in the rear end.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to understand, how people can believe some of this stuff when they're happy where they are. They're content where they are.
I understand, Michelle, but learn for yourself the principle of the big lie. It is true, okay, and it has been used time and again. If you tell a lie frequently enough, for over a large enough period of time, eventually it will become the truth. And that's what we're dealing with here. Michelle, dear, we got to take our break. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Can I hold and
sure.
listen to the rest of the show?
Sure, no problem.
Thanks, babe.
All right, break time. This is News Talk 620 WWNR. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be right back.
Head on.
Around the block, just up your street, with neighbors you should meet. There are lives we live and dreams we share. We drive your streets and we're always there.
Did you know after age 65, almost 3 out of 4 of us may need some form of long-term care? That's why there's long-term care insurance from State Farm Mutual Automobile Insurance Company. It offers the care options important to you, like in-home care. And who better to talk to about it than your local State Farm agents? For costs and complete coverage details, call Don Bowling in Oak Hill, Maria Dooley in Richwood, or Regina Echo in Hinton. Statistics cited in long-term care. Knowing the risk, paying the price. Health Insurance Association of America, 1997.
Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Where there's a tornado.
Where there's a forest fire.
Where Mother Nature is at her worst.
We'll be there. Where there's a search.
Where there's a rescue.
Where there are Americans in need.
We're there.
When disaster strikes.
We're one volunteer force.
Helping each other and simply doing what needs to be done.
We are the Civil Air Patrol.
The official auxiliary of the U.S. Air Force.
To join, call 1-800-FLY-2338.
Or log on to the World Wide Web at www.cap.gov.
WWNR Beckley.
A guy who's in no rush to be savage, Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. 22.5 minutes after 9. Take this into account. I have said that because I'm only using the same logic as is used by wingnuts like Hannity and Flush. Their assertion that national character is molded, of course, by national leadership. I have said in the past that because we are led by a coward, we are becoming a coward nation. So this is an update from the heart of the coward nation. Victor. Dateline Des Moines. June 1st. We're talking about a lady, a 57-year-old grandmother. Her name is Cecilia Beeman. She is a school principal at Pacific Middle School in Des Moines, Iowa. We've got listeners in Iowa, did you know that? Well, as of this past Sunday, you know what else she is? Devoted grandmother, you know, one of the cookie bakers, school principal, boo-boos on knees and discipline, gets to hand out the ribbons for perfect attendance. Well, she's also a terrorist. Or as Dear Leader would say, terrorist! Never could understand, early on, I couldn't understand why he was mad at the tourists. Yeah, she and a number of other chaperones, about a week or so ago, they took 37 middle school students to a heritage festival band competition in California. And the trip included 2 days at Disneyland. at least their bus company didn't go bankrupt and, you know, do them out of the trip. No, they flew. And boy, were their arms tired. They flew, and during the stay, she made sandwiches for the kids. She was very, very careful, Ms. Beeman was, to pack the knives that she used to prepare the sandwiches in her checked luggage. And as she was getting on the plane, she even alerted screeners. She said, there are knives in my checked baggage. Now, the part that, you know, not carrying it on the plane. There are knives in my checked baggage. And they said, no problem. So then it turns out she couldn't find a third knife. Now, was this some sort of stiletto or 5.5-inch bread knife with a rounded tip? Every last one of you has one in your drawer. Couldn't stab a pat of butter with it. It's got a rounded end. Got a serrated edge because it's a bread knife. And you understand. She was afraid she'd lost it or maybe misplaced it during the trip. Well, deep inside the outside pocket of a carry-on cooler, screeners with the Transportation Security Administration at LAX found it. And she, you know, being this sweet 57-year-old grandmother from Iowa, goodness me, I'm so sorry. How could I have been so stupid? I'm terribly sorry. Oh, this is so embarrassing. Hold her. Ma'am.
you're a terrorist, and you're under arrest. What are we calling this segment? Notes from the Heart of the Coward Nation. Ms. Beeman was told her name would go on a terrorist watch list. Terrorist! And that she would have to pay a $500 fine. Here's what she said. I am a 57-year-old woman who's taking care of 37 kids. I'm not going to commit a terrorist act. They took information from her driver's license and confiscated and photographed the knife, according to standard operating. With circles and arrows on the front and a paragraph on the back of each one. You know the drill. Screeners wouldn't give her paperwork or documentation of her violation, documentation of the pending fine, or a copy of the photograph of the knife. They said, no, ma'am, it's a national security issue. So she says, what about my constitutional rights? They said, and so KOMO News called the Transportation Security Administration for comment. They said, we don't have a right. TSA screeners are by design becoming more strict. Now, just sit back and let that one roll around the inside of your noggin for a little bit. I got somebody all bent out of shape a little bit ago because I said that a death camp survivor said we were getting a lot like the Nazis. Never mind the fact that a German, for God's sakes, a German politician said Bush reminded him of Hitler a year or so ago. Because, you know, when the Germans are comparing you to Hitler, you're in Bill Durst, you should hear that. So we've got death camp survivors bugging out of the U.S. because we're getting just a little too brown shirt for their tastes. And now we have people at airports saying, we have found a 5.5-inch rounded tip bread knife in your luggage. But what about my constitutional rights? You know, I'm a school principal. I taught a lot about constitutional rights. At this point, ma'am, you don't have any. Just... let that work around your brain like one of those nasty little critters from the second Star Trek movie, okay? Yeah, didn't they put things in our ears? It was horrible. 57-year-old grandmother. I'm surprised creepy-looking dude that's running Homeland Security.
Al-Qaeda grandma busted at LAX, carrying knife on board. Plan to slice bread for...
I've got a 5.5-inch blade, serrated edge, rounded tip knife, and I'm not afraid to slice a stewardess. I'm gonna take the break. You sing. You hate it when I sing. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Good evening, this is Carl Mack, WWNR News. More than half the state under a severe thunderstorm watch until 8 o'clock, just about 30 minutes from now this evening. The National Weather Service says the storms have the capability of producing wind and gusts exceeding 80 miles an hour, hail 2.5 inches in diameter, and also dangerous lightning. The storms are being caused by a very unstable air ahead of a cold front, which moved through the Ohio Valley earlier this afternoon. The watch covers 35 of the 55 counties, including the greater Beckley area, and again, the severe thunderstorm watch in effect until 8 o'clock this evening. Truckers and other commercial vehicle drivers, be prepared to stop at a minute past midnight tonight. The Public Service Commission will launch a 72-hour road check on I-68 near Morgantown and I-77 near Bluefield. All commercial vehicles passing through the two areas will be required to pull over for a possible safety inspection. The PSC regulates commercial vehicle safety in the state, and this week's effort is part of a nationwide campaign. The agency says roving patrols will also conduct spot checks on commercial vehicles traveling on other state highways as well. Those who owe municipal service fees in the city of Huntington may soon have their wages garnished. City Attorney Scott McClure has been working to collect past due fees for more than 1,000 residents this year, and if those fees are not promptly paid, McClure says he may have to resort to garnishing wages. He says, I don't know how many judgments we've gotten from the suits we originally filed. I'd assume we'd have to have a judgment before we look to garnish wages. Thus far, we haven't done any of that, but it's still our objective to do so.
In the meantime, McClure has filed several hundred lawsuits against those who have not paid fees. Cases of West Nile virus started popping up in other states last month, so the question is, could West Virginia be next? Hubert Zapia, a public health entomologist for the state, says West Nile is still too new a virus to predict what's going to happen this summer, but he's hoping for a mild season like last year. There were no human cases of West Nile, and only a handful involving horses last year. Once again, severe thunderstorm watch until 8 o'clock this evening. Cloudy with showers and thunderstorms, and later tonight partly cloudy. Some fog may develop. Temperatures in the upper 50s, and then for Tuesday, partly sunny and mostly quiet tomorrow, and also very warm. Temperatures again in the upper 70s to near 80. For News Talk 620, this is Carl Mack, when you need to know.
The professor was marking papers when on impulse he jotted down a line that later made his fortune. His story next on Biography for Radio.
America is a country of entrepreneurs, and if you're a small business owner, you're helping shoulder the lion's share of the U.S. economy. You can lighten that load a little at Sam's Club. When you shop at Sam's Club, you get everyday low costs on products you need every day. After all, while you may be carrying around the weight of the American economy, you shouldn't have to do all the heavy lifting by yourself. Sam's Club. We are in business for small business.
The temperamental Oxford professor was marking student essays. It was a boring job. Came to a blank page and, without thinking, scribbled out a line about a small creature living in a hole. Later, he revived the creature in stories he told his children. Then one day, an unfinished typescript of the tale fell into a publisher's hands. In 1937, a book came out. It was a hit with children. Writing for children was an odd start for the South African-born professor. He was an intellectual with a lust for rarefied languages, such as Finnish and Gothic. Still, he was convinced to write a sequel. It took 16 years of hard work and strife. At one stage, he threatened to go to a rival publisher. And the three-volume book finally came out in 1954, his publisher expected to take a loss. Somewhat to the professor's dismay, the trilogy became the Bible of hippies, who mixed their reading with hallucinatory drugs. But millions of others also read it. In fact, almost a half century later, the story of Frodo, Gandalf, and Middle Earth were on the big screen, thanks to the author who gave us The Hobbit and Lord of the Rings, J.R.R. Tolkien. For Biography, I'm Lawrence Scott.
Biography is a trademark of A&D.
All rise, all rise. This honorable court is now in session.
Please be seated. The defendant shall remain standing. The defendant is before this court today for sentencing, having been previously found guilty of a gun crime by a jury of his peers. Given the severity of this crime, it is the order of this court that the defendant be sentenced to a term of 5 years imprisonment. Defendant will be remanded to custody immediately.
On June 4th, my big brother was sentenced to 5 years in prison for a gun crime. That day, he sentenced me to 5 years of walking home alone from school.
When you commit a gun crime, your family pays the price. Gun crimes hit home. A public service announcement brought to you by Project Safe Neighborhoods and the Ad Council.
What's this? Milk. Low fat, no fat. They're milk too, and their names rhyme.
This man may sound odd.
Low fat, no fat.
But to his 3-year-old daughter helping him pick out food, he makes perfect sense.
Here's cheese with holes in it.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. Take simple moments like shopping and turn them into learning moments.
It's called Swiss.
Swiss has holes.
That's right. Oh, can you say Gorgonzola?
Gorgonzola.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Visit bornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
WWNR Beckley.
You can be right and be wrong,
or be left and be right.
Hang on.
Ladies
with bread knives and old guys with canes waiting.
Coward Nation. And really, the wall has become our soundtrack, hasn't it?
Everybody step away. We're going to have to delay the flight. We have found an old lady with a bread knife. It's all right. Everybody's safe. Thus far, we haven't found a copy of the Quran, but we're not sure.
Let's go back to the phones. Jethro's back with us. Hey, Jethro, you're head on. Thanks for calling back, man.
Drop the bread knife.
And step away from the plane.
Really? Talk about madness. But that's just the part of the fascist creep. I was watching TV there Saturday morning, and it was about the police up in Maryland. And they've got a 89% seatbelt usage, which compared to West Virginia, I think we've got 75, and they want to raise it to at least 85, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the perpetrators are not using those seatbelts after dark. And okay. So we flash over, and here are the police with military equipment. They've got these night vision goggles.
Oh, God.
And they're in the bushes spotting these people at the intersection to whether or not they've got their seatbelt on. And, they, of course, you can't see in the car because it's dark, so they're using those night vision goggles.
Yeah.
And then they got somebody about a half mile down the road pulling them over and citing them for a seatbelt violation.
We've got a subject without a seatbelt.
But they're also, that's an excuse. That's also,
it's a fishing expedition at that point. Because then you've got your probable cause.
Well, and, that used to be called entrapment, too, I believe.
Yeah.
Because you're setting somebody up. And I think that's an invasion of your privacy rights, really, and the search and seizure laws, because they're, all over a seatbelt.
Right.
And you're going to see they're going to see just an excuse to pull you over, and then, that might lead to other arrests or any other violations. But to criminalize a safety issue.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Well, no, I don't either, Jethro. And frankly, I don't get being scared to death of 57-year-old little old ladies with blunt tipped bread knives.
Right, where's the common sense in this?
Now, granted, I bake my own bread from time to time, Jethro, and I've got one of these knives, okay? And it does have a serrated edge, and it will do a number on you if you're not paying attention while you're slicing that hot, fresh, wonderful bread. But it's really, this thing was buried deep inside a cooler. So she's got to go fishing around for it. And it's the old ladies that are getting strip searched because the underwire and their brassieres is setting off the metal detectors. And all of this is over 9/11. Oh, no, I don't get it either.
It's madness, I tell you.
It's pure crazy. And we've got a nation that is absolutely in high dudgeon, at high froth, and scared of its own shadow.
Right, and then now we're going to turn around, we're going to bust in on some end-stage cancer patient who...
Oh, I didn't even get to that, yeah.
Who doesn't want to take corporate OxyContin and get all hooked on. She just wants to smoke a joint from now and then, but that's not allowable.
Oh, no. I mean, we can't have cancer patients who can't stand to eat smoking marijuana and getting munchies or nothing, because we don't... Can we just finally, at midnight do a black mass over it and take compassionate conservatism out in the middle of nowhere and bury it?
Right. They're going to let her die in misery, and not let her do what she knows helps her. But then you're going to turn around and try to keep Terry Schiavo alive as long as possible for some kind of a political motive.
No, it makes your head spin. It makes I get emails from all these normal people. Who, and because we've become so segmented, these normal, decent, upstanding, liberal, progressive people, Jethro, they write me and they go, man, I just heard your show through White Rose Society, and I can't believe that I'm not alone anymore.
I hear you.
The idea is to keep us alone, because as long as we're alone and we feel like we're isolated, we're less likely to stand up and punch the bully back in the nose.
Yeah, because it's like, hey, I'm going to punch the bully here, but... are the rest of the masses behind the bully or what? What's going on here?
Yeah, well, bullies always operate in packs. And so that if you stand up and punch the bully in the nose and you don't have a bunch of people at your back, you're done. You know, because they only pick on the weak, they only pick on those that are smaller than themselves, and they only pick on someone if they've got superior numbers. Gee, it sounds like a rack, doesn't it?
Pretty much. And that is just, you know, we're going to keep on with that. And I think that, hopefully some of this mainstream media is going to start picking up on this rosy picture that they're trying to give us over. And it's the same deal as Vietnam, you know, all these offensives.
Oh,
and,
we're winning the hearts and minds.
We will never win the hearts and minds of the Iraqi people. They want us out of there. You know, I think they think that we are actually worse than Saddam. At least they had electricity when Saddam was there.
That's true.
And they don't have it now. So I'm not sure what's going to happen. We need to get some of these critters out of there in 2006 on the local level. You know, I think Senator Weeks needs to go.
Absolutely.
In 2006, definitely, because he is, I don't know.
Well, I've got a short list of people that need to go, and some of them are Democrats.
Yeah, there's some Democrats that need to go, too. And
because they're not Democrats.
I hear you. Democrats, Republicans in Democratic clothing.
Yeah, or Dinos, Democrats in name only. You know, if you want to waste the legislature's time arguing about renaming a chunk of highway and you want to hold up business, you know, I'm sorry. Or, you know, these people that say, well, you know, it's funny, we didn't know we were voting for that. You know, if you're not going to go down there and read the stuff, for God's sakes, why are you there? You know, Ed called earlier, he wants to bond them all. And it may not be a bad idea.
Right. Yeah, so, a definite vote no against the bond issue. We need to take this cue from these people down in Summers County who repeatedly, you know, do away with the bond issue on different things. So,
well, in this particular case, Jethro, I can't see, you know, $5.5 billion, $3,000 per person, per West Virginian, every West Virginian in debt for the next 30 years? Mm-mm.
Well, they forget about, you know, this Eric, I think it's Margolis.
Oh, yeah.
That
would be, and his buddy A. James.
A. James, man. Yeah, big wonder boy, Margolis and A. James. They had a big investment scheme, too, and you see what happened.
Well, they were going to put it in they put it in the stock market, didn't they? And they lost their shirts.
Yes.
They lost our shirts.
And so now the nephew of A. James is wanting to come and try to pull another stunt of the same deal, so.
Well, the notion that
Showboat Mansion.
Oh, brother, I tell you. And the idea, have you heard this floated business, this idea that he's a national candidate?
A national candidate?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, our governor is said to have national panache. One of the rumors going around a week or so ago was a Hillary Mansion presidential ticket in 08. you're laughing. Nobody, they weren't.
Please.
I know.
The Democrats want to get trounced again. Hillary cannot win. They've demonized her. There's no way.
Right.
They need to get somebody up there. You know, they're trying to demonize Dean, too. And he's fighting back and basically using the same techniques as the Republicans.
Yeah, but listen to him squeal, just like when you punch a bully in the nose. Why'd you hit me?
Right. They try to make it look like the Democrats are trying to distance themselves, but... You know, we need Dean, and we need somebody that's going to stand up to these guys. And, you know, he said he didn't hate every Republican, just what, you know.
But what Republicans have done to our country.
Exactly. And down the wrong path.
And, you know, frankly, I heard that comment. I was like, yeah, go, Hallie, because we've got to call these people what they are. You know, oh, he's a name caller. No, I'm just, you know, it's the Harry Truman thing, and Howard Dean referenced it himself. He said, you know, they said, give him hell, Harry, and he said, I don't give him hell, I give him the truth, and they think it's hell.
Right, and Dean was going strong there, and they kind of squashed him for the election and decided that Kerry was the one.
Well, then the media did that. The liberal media did that to a so-called liberal.
Yeah, the liberal media.
Yeah, I know. That's, you know, that's like don't eat the brown acid. I'm tired of being lied to, and I'm tired of these bullies, and, you know, why take it anymore?
Right, and this whole thing of lies, you know, of surrounding the Iraq War, the lies about the torture, you know, the lies, you know, when Amnesty International comes out with this gulag-like thing, and it's not a gulag because, you know, we're not forcing them to work. Well, hello.
No, you're forcing them to live in a dog cage. That's so much better in 100-degree heat.
And it turns out that this Newsweek story, and Dan Rather, too, you know, they come out with these, with something that's actually the truth, but they're gonna try to make it look like it's something that is a falsehood. And it turns out that, yeah, there was some abuse with the Koran.
Well, they peed all over one.
And now they're trying to say that, well, it wasn't an American, but a couple of the Muslims flushed their own Koran down the toilet.
That's right. They were, yeah.
I did not believe that.
No, and, you know, that's like, you know, they've had a couple of Muslims commit suicide by, you know, shooting themselves 37 times. You know, they just fell on the trigger.
Right. Well, that's the same deal as with these mosques that are being suicide bombed. You know, a Muslim would not do that. I don't care if they're Sunni or Shiite. I just don't believe that a Muslim would go in and blow himself up in a mosque. I think that's us or the Israelis. Of course, that's, you know, the black helicopters are flying, but I just don't think they would do that.
Well, look, very few people, you mentioned the Israelis, very few people remember, you know, we're the best friend Israel has on earth, and they're our best friend. And yet, we are turning a blind eye. You remember the whole scandal, you know, Bill Clinton selling us out to the Chinese. Remember that one?
Right.
Well, no, that would be the Israelis.
We give them our technology, they turn up, you know, selling it to the Chinese for their profit. And the same, you know, it's the same deal in Lebanon. You get this president assassinated. You blame that on Syria and get them to move out of the country. Then you have
Then you take the credit for Syria leaving the country, not the Lebanese wanting to be free or anything.
Right. And then you have this Lebanese journalist that's has been murdered. And, of course, he was a anti-Syrian journalist. Now he ends up dead. So who are we going to blame that on? The Syrians. So, you know, that's probably the Israelis coming in there and doing that because they know what the ramifications of that are going to be.
Right, and the next thing you're going to hear is that, what's his name, Bashar Assad, Hafez Assad's son, now runs Syria. He's a bad man, and he kills his own people.
And so we're ratcheting up this negativity. You know, we're going to demonize Syria and Iran next.
Well, we're not going to be happy until the whole area is in flames, because that's when Jesus comes back in his golden El Dorado.
Hey, yo!
Say to you, Jethro, you have a good evening, man.
Hi, Bob. Thanks.
Later. And I saw this one. I got to share this with you real quick. The Air Force Space Command has a strategic master plan, FY fiscal year 06 and beyond. Quote, our vision calls for prompt global strike space systems with the capability to apply force from or through space against terrestrial targets. International treaties and laws do not prohibit the use of or presence of conventional weapons in space. Well, there was, once upon a time, a little treaty. It was called the Anti-Ballistic Missile Treaty, and we sort of agreed that we wouldn't militarize space because we were certainly doing a lovely enough job militarizing Earth. And so, yep, the Bush administration has come up with a plan. This is just amazing. Attack vehicles that descend on targets from space, killer satellites that would disrupt or destroy other nations' satellites, tungsten rods, these are being called by the Bush administration calls them rods from God. Tungsten rods fired from space platforms that would gather speeds of over 7,000 miles per hour and be able to penetrate underground targets, they would impact with the force of a nuclear weapon. Now, wait a minute. Lasers in space, blowing stuff up. I've heard this before.
In 12 hours, I will destroy Washington, D.C. with this giant laser.
We call it laser. God, George Bush saw it. Just hurts some. Call it the Austin Power. We call it the Alan Parsons Project. Dude, you are so lame. Take here. I've been frozen for 30. Rods from God. Lasers in space. This guy is getting ready to blow up the whole world. That's what he wants. He wants to blow up the world because that's when his little weirdo religion industry friends have told him that the good times really start. Now, I want to be around and see them dead rise from the bottoms of the deep. That ought to be pretty creepy. That might even be worse than some of the horror movies I've seen one time. Michelle had a last question. Hey, Michelle.
Littering and smoking the reefer.
Yeah. And,
okay.
And disturbing what? and disturbing the peace.
What happens when they find out that Hawthorne will lower or raise your blood pressure as your body needs it? Are they going to ban growing Hawthorne?
Sure. Well, hey, I mean, the federal government's prosecuting a church.
No, really. That's my
point. The federal government's prosecuting a church that drinks hallucinogenic tea, saying that they got religious rights, but not that kind.
Oh, no, but...
Easy there.
I caught myself.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I...
You didn't want to have that happen twice in one.
And what is the point of terrorism? To create terror.
Right.
Step away from the bread knife.
Yeah. Can we just say you...
We have lost already.
Yeah, you guys won, okay? We're terrified. You win.
The government has given us up.
Yeah.
They have given us up. I'm not afraid.
No, I'm not either.
Are you afraid?
No, are you?
The government's afraid.
Well, see, but you're not afraid, and that's the problem.
I'm not
you're
afraid.
Supposed to be, Michelle. You're supposed to be.
Well, you know what? Tough.
See, we're supposed to look
cookie.
At each other on the street and go, "You afraid? Yeah, I'm very afraid." 9/11. Just like the Germans used to say, "Sieg Heil."
I'm not afraid.
No, I'm not either. And you know what? New York.
The government.
New York is not afraid.
The government. Is afraid, and I detest the government that's afraid,
yeah.
And that puts the American citizen through trials that they would put a terrorist through.
Just on the odd chance that you would ever get on a plane, Michelle, what would you do if they told you to strip?
I would not get on a plane. There is no odd chance of that.
It's just not worth the hassle.
Well, actually, I did get on a plane to go and bury my father in Arlington. But
sorry about that.
Well, why? I wasn't sorry about it.
Okay.
That's where you belong. That's where you went.
Yeah.
I wasn't sorry about it at all. But, no. I got on, I had Valium.
But we're not afraid to fly because of the terrorists. We're afraid to fly because of what our own government's going
to
do to us.
I don't want them to take my lighter. I don't want them to take my damn lighter, my darn lighter.
I don't even know. Can you have matches now?
You can have matches. You can't have, but and the shoe guy was
the shoe
had
guy.
Matches. The shoe bomb guy.
Yeah, oh, that's
he cool. had matches. He didn't have a lighter. He had matches.
Yeah, because you're sitting there striking one after the
yeah.
other. Yeah, what a piece is it's going to work. I got the kind that ain't strike anywhere, and I done rubbed off all the slate.
This government is making us afraid.
Yes, and they mean for you, too. One of these days, you got to get your hands on a copy of 1984. It's going to be like reading a newspaper to you.
1984?
Yeah, by George Orwell.
Oh, I've read that.
Yeah, well, remember? Remember how
Big
the...
Big Brother?
Yeah, and remember how the enemy was could never be caught, and he was really scary?
Really, really scary.
Right, the elusive Goldstein.
Really.
Yeah. We got to get out of here, Michelle.
Thanks.
Take it easy.
Bye.
There's one American who's not afraid. A bunch of us who aren't. How badly they want us to be. Well, the show tonight was, of course, produced by the inimitable John Kay. Announced at least in part by Brian Reznor. And brought to you, as it always is, by the 20,000 members of the Affiliated Construction Trades Foundation. Working in West Virginia, they are working. The show is archived every night by Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Run on by. See the good work that Ben does. Tomorrow night, where will I be? Oh, yeah, I'll be here. Hey, Agnes. That's 20.